If you'll turn with me now to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. As I said to the children, this is the Great Commission. Listen. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of His holy and inspired Word. Let us now look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Jesus was arrested, his disciples got scared and ran away. And then when Jesus was later crucified, they were devastated and defeated. They were afraid and disappointed beyond words. They had not counted on this at all. This was certainly unexpected to them. They didn't know what on earth they were supposed to do now. What in the world are we going to do? We've been following Jesus, and now he has been arrested and crucified. What in the world are we going to do now? That was their question. They simply did not know how to answer that question. They didn't have a clue. But then, their hope was rekindled. Their dream was still alive because the Lord Jesus Christ was alive. He had been raised from the dead. The risen Christ appeared to them numerous times. They had new hope. They were so happy to worship a risen Savior. One of those resurrection appearances is found in our scripture lesson, Matthew 28. And Jesus met with his disciples back where it all started, in Galilee. And he gave to them what we now call the Great Commission. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember that I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The disciples knew then what they were supposed to do in the world. And then a short time later, the Holy Spirit came and gave to them strength and courage to carry out the Great Commission. And with the right answer in their minds, with the Holy Spirit in their hearts, they went and turned the world upside down. Or maybe we should say, right side up. But let me ask you something this morning. If a new Christian came to you and said, "I have just become a Christian. What in the world am I supposed to do as a new follower of Christ?" How would you answer that question? How are you answering it right now in your own lives? What in the world are we supposed to do as Christians? Well, I think it's a key question because I think that it impacts every single thing that we do as individual Christians and as a church family. And over the years, and to the present moment, people have basically three different answers to this question. And I want us to take a look at these three different options that people take in answering that question, and let's see where we fit in. First of all, there's some people who say, reject the world. And the idea here is that the world is evil with all of its temptations, with all of its pressures, and our body is weak. And so according to this view, some people have, say, in their own hearts and lives, well, the only hope is to forsake the world, to get away from the world, to reject the world. And there have been many dramatic illustrations of this in history. For example, consider the monastic movement. As early as the 4th century, Christian monks by the thousands began running away from the world. They went to caves in the hills and to waste places in the desert. They thought they had a better chance for salvation by doing two things. First, they were going to leave the sinful world. They were going to get away from people, get away from society. They were going to reject the world, just get away only to themselves so they wouldn't meet the temptations and pressures of the world. And second, they felt like they needed to weaken their bodies so they would not have the strength to give in to the world's temptations. And so they ran away to lonely, isolated, desolated places. And they ate as little as possible. They slept in uncomfortable positions. They wore only enough clothing for decency. You see, they were rejecting the world. Now, another illustration of this reject the world approach is seen in the Amish people. Now, don't misunderstand me because I have a lot of respect for the Amish people. We have visited in Amish communities and I have a lot of respect for them and their way of life. I'm not going to be critical of them. They're wonderful people from whom we have much to learn. But the basic premise of their lifestyle is world rejection. Practices and customs may vary from community to community, but in many ways, they reject the modern world. Often they will choose not to use automobiles or electricity. They prefer to have their own schools. They feel that their children will be contaminated by contact with people outside their group. Women wear dresses of a century ago. They keep to themselves to protect their way of life, to avoid the temptations of modern life. You see, they reject the world. Now, beyond the Amish community, we also have this world rejection idea on a personal level. You know, there's some people who cannot handle the stresses, the demands, the problems, and the suffering of the world. And so they withdraw from the world. They isolate themselves from the world. They just can't handle the world. So they reject it and live alone. How do we relate to the world? Some say reject it. And then there are those people who say, in the second place, resemble the world. And this means that we're going to blend in, that we're going to go along with the crowd. We're not going to rock the boat. Don't worry about the Ten Commandments and the standards of Jesus Christ. Just accommodate yourself to the standards of the world. Don't stir the waters. Go with the flow. Identify with whatever's going on around you. Don't be different. Resemble the world. I read about a college student who became a Christian and he joined the church. And shortly after that, this student went up north for the summer to work in a logging camp. And his Christian friends at his church were worried about him, because he was going to go work in a logging camp. He was a new Christian. He was going to be exposed to the tough life of a logging camp. They were afraid that these worldly, rough lumberjacks might persecute him because of his Christian faith. And the young man's friends prayed for him daily while he was away from them and working at the logging camp. The summer ended. He returned home. And his friends at church quizzed him. Did you make it all right? How did you get along with all those rough lumberjacks? I'm sure they tried to persecute you because of your Christian faith. Did they give you a hard time because of your faith? And he answered, I made it just fine. No problems at all. I handled it well. They never found out that I'm a Christian. Let me ask you something. Can people tell that you are a Christian? When people are around you, do you make them aware that you believe in God, that you're serving God, that you're faithful to His church, that you're committed to the cause of Jesus Christ, that you share the love and the good news of Jesus Christ with others? Do you stand out in a crowd because the Spirit of Christ is radiant within you? Or do you just blend in? Do you go with the flow? Do you not rock the boat? We have that choice. How do we relate to the world? Some say, resemble it. Go along with what's going on with the crowd. Don't be different. But there's a problem with this approach. It's not the biblical answer of how to relate to the world. It is not God's answer. The Scriptures tell us not to conform to the world, but to be the conscience of society. We are to be the light of the world. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the leaven in the bread. Others need to know that we serve Jesus. Some people say, reject the world. Some people say, resemble the world. Go with the flow. But there's a final approach to how we live in the world, how we relate to the world. This approach is redeem the world. And the idea here is to change it, to improve it, to make a difference, to make the world a better place, to redeem it. In 1986, Bob Brindley, the catcher for the San Francisco Giants, tied a major league record that he was not proud of. He made 4 errors in 1 game. He was filling in at third base against the Atlanta Braves. But then he found himself in the 9th inning, the last at bat, with a full count of 3 balls and 2 strikes, And he hit a home run and won the game 7-6. One swing of the bat, and he changed the outcome. After the game, the television announcer said, "Well, folks, Bob Brindley just redeemed himself." He redeemed himself. Well, what did that mean? Well, I think it means this. He changed things. He improved things. He delivered against all odds. He converted a bad situation into a good situation. He turned defeat into victory. He was going to be looked down upon terribly because he had made four errors in one game. But one swing of the bat and he redeemed himself. Now let me hurry and say that there are some situations that we cannot redeem by ourselves. We need an outside source of strength to come and help us. And that's where Jesus Christ comes in. He comes in to help us. We need the outside source of strength to come to encourage us and to help us as we face the obstacles of life. He comes to give us another chance. He comes to save us, to give us new life, a second chance to serve Him. He passes the torch on to us. He gives us a job. He puts us to work as His missionaries, missionaries that may go out into the world, or people who support missionaries with prayers and with our generosity and our gifts. He sends us out as His representatives. He sends us out as ministers of redemption to a needy and broken world. He sends us out to make disciples of all nations. He sends us out to continue His ministry. He sends us out to take to the world His caring and loving and helping and redemptive touch. He wants us to give our time and our prayers and our energies and our talent for His glory. He wants us to use our resources and our hands and our hearts to redeem the world, to change the world, to make disciples of all people. And He promises that He will go with us. He will be with us always to help us every moment. And where there is a problem, with the help of God, we can solve it. Where there is wrong, with the help of God, we can make it right. And where there are hungry people, with the help of God, we can feed them. And that's our task as Christians. That is our calling. That is the Great Commission. Some years ago, a group of Christian athletes from America went on a mission trip. It was a work trip to Korea. And after the group's project was completed, they were saying their goodbyes to the Korean villagers. Deep friendships had been established. The Koreans were extremely grateful for what these American athletes had done for them in their village. And it was a touching moment as these American athletes were leaving. And then, in the name of the host village, a little Korean girl brought flowers to the athletes. She struggled with her English when she said, "These flowers will fade and die, but you will smell here forever." I think you know what she meant. They had appreciated their concern, their love, their efforts in ministry to them. Well, I hope that we in our Christian witness can smell forever, here and there and wherever we go. My hope and prayer is that we will share the fragrance, the love, the grace of Jesus Christ to others. You see, our commission is not to reject the world. It's not to resemble the world. Our job is, with the help of God, to redeem the world, to change the world into a better place.